We don't have a spot on the agenda for public comments.
That's correct. There's no public forum today.
So I just wanted, you know, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Schimmick, Mr. Hensley, and anyone else that's here, just to realize that there is not a spot on the agenda for comments to be made to the board on anything that's not on the agenda. But things that are on the agenda, that's obviously what you can speak to us on.
So, for example, item 789, are there any public comment on those items?
Yeah, you can talk to us about that stuff. Yeah. I just didn't want anyone to be waiting around thinking that there was a generalized public comment agenda item. Yes.
How come? I thought we had to have that at every meeting. I'm just curious.
I don't think we do, but Jessica...
No, it's not a legal requirement.
Yeah. And this is really just our off-site meeting where the board gets together to kind of talk about this kind of stuff. Okay. Moving on to item 7. Mr. Harris.
So this is just a quick update Angela's going to do for you on what occurred at the State Board recently. State Board adopted their final order, recognizing that the next regularly scheduled board meeting is not till December. I thought that the board would like to hear what transpired. And Angela's just going to give you kind of the highlights in terms of the major changes that occurred or that we are now adapting to and that others are now adapting to in terms of changes. And then in December, you will do a much more thorough presentation for you. And also Perry Clausen from the Coalition Cooperative, whatever they're calling themselves these days, from the North will be making a presentation, giving you all an update on how things are going and sampling and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have a lot more for you in December. So this is just a short, very short presentation by Angela.
So I did prepare a few slides that just bullet out some of the major modifications to the order. It should be in your packet. Or Harvey can show it on the TV if he wants to. So the most recent hearing at the State Board was on September 24th. And at that time, State Board adopted an order that resolved the 5 petitions to our Central Coast Water Board agricultural order. So just in summary, the process included was over a period of almost 18 months, which dwarfs in comparison to our process. But it included 5 draft orders, 4 comment periods, and 3 public meetings. The State Board's order largely supports our Central Coast Water Board Ag order. It affirms the severity of the water quality conditions and also prioritizes drinking water sampling and notifying well users. I think in general probably the most modifications happened regarding drinking water and notifications to the drinking water users. One other thing that the State Board order did also do was to direct an expert panel. The expert panel specifically will focus on the nitrogen requirements. And the goal is to have the expert panel provide more evaluation and input on the methods for risk to determine nitrate loading to groundwater, as well as the targets. We spoke about nitrate balance ratios during our hearings, and so this expert panel will address those types of issues.
And Angela, who's on the panel?
It is actually unspecified at this time. State Board is currently developing a contract with Cal Poly Irrigation Technology and Resources Research Center, and that group will develop a process to invite expert panels to be nominated, or technical experts, researchers, et cetera.
So this is part of our ag order?
This is separate. Okay. This is a process that they are going to implement, and it's to inform any future types of requirements related to risk evaluation from nitrate loading and targets. So it's not intended to necessarily affect or not, although it could inform future requirements.
But, I mean, it's part of the State Board order, but not part of our...
That's correct. It's in the State Board order.
Yeah.
I'd also like to point out to Matt, is this is all also consistent with recommendations that came out of UC Davis nitrate study, as well as the subsequent recommendations the state board made in the legislature.
So this panel is going to then make recommendations to all the regional boards and the state board?
The expert panel takes into consideration the different regional factors that influence nitrate loading and risk, but they are to make recommendations to the state board.
To the state board. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And my understanding is the state board are going to consider their recommendations for statewide policy, so they, if they adopt policy based on those recommendations, then they would directly affect, they could affect the existing order, and they certainly would affect the next order.
Okay. Mr. Johnston.
Just a quick question about the expert panel, because I'm curious about it too. So as I understand it, the fundamental questions they're dealing with are nitrate budgeting, is that correct? And that whole concept and nitrate ratios, the is that right?
That's correct. So they really are looking at many different elements related to nitrogen risk. So how do you determine risk among different types of farming activities? And then after we've determined risk, then what are the specific nutrient budgeting practices that should occur? And then what is reported based upon those practices? And then further than that is the targets, is looking at, now that we know the nitrogen budget, what would reasonable be targets be for the future?
So the pieces of our order that this could impact are, down the road, if not now, the criteria for tiering, the what we require as far as tracking and computation in terms of nitrogen inputs and reporting,
and any targets.
And targets. Mm-hmm. Okay. And is there any specificity as to the? Did they just say an expert panel? Is there any specificity as far as different sectors to be represented on it or anything?
I would have to look again at the state board's adopted order, but I do not recall any specificity at all regarding who's on the panel. So moving on from that, talking about the modifications to our order, the state board's order specifically modifies the cooperative groundwater monitoring programs, and in the requirements, the modifications specifically address the notifications and also the frequency of sampling. So one example is where concentrations were near the MCL, the requiring repeat sampling. In addition, wells that meet certain concentrations, I think it's 80% of the MCL, there is a required notification that goes out to all drinking water users. And that becomes the responsibility of the cooperative and the regional board.
Did they, now I know that the cooperative plan was to monitor a sample of wells and develop these contour maps in areas where their contour maps predict that the drinking water wells are all going to be over the MCL. Do they, I assume they have to notify everybody, but do they also have to monitor all those wells to confirm that data?
They do have to do individual sampling of those wells, and then there's also repeat sampling that has to occur. So it can't be projected. So when you're projected to be within a certain concentration, I think it's 80%, Ken, is that correct? Then you have to do the individual well sampling. It can no longer just be a projection.
Even if you're projecting to be over.
Oh,
then.
Jessica's waving at me.
It's 50% to do the actual monitoring versus the representational. If you're over 80%, then you have to repeat sampling.
Okay.
If you're over 45 via representational, that's fine. You don't have to actually sample to confirm that, but you do have to notify everyone. So it's only if you're in the 22.5 to 45 that you actually have to sample so that there's no error, margin of error there.
So if you're if their projections for the cooperative, if their projections are over 22.5%, then they monitor everything in that band, and if their projections are under 22.5%, they don't?
Concentration, not percent.
Concentration.
Concentration. If they're between 22.5 and 45, they have to. If their projections are over 45, then that's fine. They just have to notify everyone that it's bad.
So if their projections are over 45, they'd notify, but and they have to monitor every, they have to sample every well but not repeat sample? Is that correct? Or they don't have to sample?
No, it's they don't have to sample every well.
Okay. So if they're saying we know this water is bad, they don't have to sample every well to prove it.
Correct. It's
they just
really
have to tell
it's
people.
That area where we don't know if it's bad or if it's good that it really every well has to be sampled.
And we have the State Board's draft order here, Mr. Johnston, if you're interested in looking at the details. This actually was, I would say, this is a very central change that occurred at that final hearing, was about the repeat sampling, at what concentrations does it occur, and then who gets notified. This is where most of the discussion was. In addition, there were modifications to the nitrogen reporting. So if you remember, we have Tier 2 requirements to report nitrogen applied. The State Board's order affirms that, but then made it more specific as to what growers actually report, which wasn't substantially different than ours, just more specific. One of the things that I think is significant is the State Board order eliminated the Tier 3 nutrient balance ratios in its entirety. So where we had reporting out progress towards, there are no longer nutrient balance ratios in the order. In addition, they eliminated all of the Tier 3 irrigation and nutrient management plan reporting, with the exception of the final Year 5 effectiveness report. Growers still have to report on the effectiveness of their practices. Mm. Some of the findings that I think are worth noting is that the State Board's order did affirm that there were no due process rights or ex parte communication rules that were violated. And they also affirmed that the ag order is consistent with the water code's directive to advance the human right to safe, clean, affordable, and accessible drinking water. And then the provisional State Board order is currently on the State Board's website. We can provide that to you if you'd like a copy. Implementation and next steps, just quickly, we're continuing to implement the ag order. We've been doing that for the last almost 18 months. We will be modifying the annual compliance form to be in sync with the State Board's order. We are working on updating our website and program materials to also be consistent with the State Board's order, and also working on informing operators and landowners of the requirements. And we are coordinating with third parties, as Ken mentioned, especially the groundwater cooperatives. And then the next update will be in December of 2013.
Other than the recommendations that are going to come back from the expert panel to the State Board, does the State Board have anything else planned in terms of its review of our order down the line?
Not that I'm aware of. There are some general steps outlined in SB 2X, as Matt mentioned, but they're still drafting the contract for the expert panel implementation, so I don't know what the process is yet. Okay. As to when it'll even start, and what the deliverables might be, or when that process will end.
Mayor Delgado?
Yeah, can you summarize, Angela, the reason, as far as you know, for the elimination of the balance ratios and the nutrient management plan in the first 4 years?
So there was a lot of discussion about the uncertainty of the nutrient balance ratios, whether or not there was enough information about the cropping systems or the risk to groundwater, for example, and how accurate it would be to report out progress towards those targets. And actually, the specific purpose of the expert panel was to address items just like that. So really, it was taking them out, replacing them with this expert panel that will then do the work to evaluate requirements like that.
All right. And the same answer for the nutrient management plan?
That's correct.
Would it be helpful to staff and to the board? It would be helpful to me, I think, if we could have produced a matrix of what was in the original order, what the state changed, and what the impacts or significance or meaning of those changes are.
So that request has already been made by Mr. Jordan.
Yeah, he paid me $5.
I thought he did. Yeah. So that's something we can do. We can you know, bring it back, if we bring it back to the December meeting, would that be okay? Okay. I want to mention just a couple other things that I don't think Angela mentioned was the cooperatives and the extensions time. So the other thing the board did was they did reopen the opportunity for cooperative groundwater monitoring programs to submit applications. That deadline is now November 1. We will get one for San Luis and Santa Barbara counties. John and Hector and I and Angela met yesterday in Salinas with the Northern Cooperative to talk about the State Board's order and how to bring their proposal up to date, implement their, you know, things that are going on now. They gave us kind of a status update in terms of what they're doing. And then Claire Weinman from Santa Maria GSA was there, and we know that Perry Clausen's, that group, it is now, we will get a separate work plan. That was the one thing we insisted on, but in essence, it's going to be a single cooperative, a single coalition. And they will be submitting not only their updated northern plan so that it's consistent with the State Board order. That really doesn't require an approval as much as just checking to make sure they got everything changed. The second one does require review and approval by the EO, and that'll be to us by November 1st. At a minimum, it will look the same in terms of milestones, products, that kind of thing, as the northern. There'll be some changes just based on the local geology and geography, and it's a little different down there than it is in the northern part. So I suspect that we will have a program for the southern part. The one thing the State Board did do, which was one of those negotiating points, is anyone who currently is under requirements to do individual monitoring this current year, that must be finished before they join a cooperative, because it also reopened the enrollment period for the northern piece too. What the cooperative up there has agreed to do is, or what one thing they're doing to try to entice people is, they've agreed to conduct that individual monitoring for growers who want to join. So they would do it, they would pay for it, and they would do it under their own quality assurance plan. And the reason they're doing that is, one, is to entice growers, but they also want to use the data, because if the individuals did it, it's not going to have the same quality and they wouldn't be able to use it. So it's kind of in some ways a waste. So I applaud them for that. I think that was a great idea, and their willingness to pay for that is worth noting.
Mayor Delgado and then Dr. Wolf.
Thanks. My experience during the ag order was that there was definitely the growers' constituency, there was definitely those concerned with environmental resources, and thirdly, environmental justice issues. And so I wanted to ask Ken, since I wasn't at the State Board process, after the order was finalized, those three groups, are they happy, unhappy? Is it a mix?
Well, I think Steve can speak for himself. I think their press release spoke volumes that they're not happy. But I thought the meetings were well run. I think Steve, you know, in the EJ community, had lots of opportunities to present their case to the board, as did the AG, as did we. And as is typical in those cases, nobody gets everything they want. It is a series of compromises. It's a tough job the State Board has in trying to find, you know, to balance those everyone's needs and concerns. I think they did a reasonably good job. I think I asked the ag people yesterday, are you guys ready to implement this? Are you going to keep fighting it? And they said, no, we're going to implement it. We're not going to fight this anymore. So they're, I can't speak for Mr. Schimmick or the EJ community, but it's very disruptive when we're trying to implement this program, and we spend a lot of time and resources basically in court in Sacramento, you know, dealing with petitions. It took a lot of time and resources away from staff. And because we are going to be, in fact, we've already started talking very generally about the next order, and I've invited Mr. Schimmick and the EJ community to set up a time, and I would meet with them and talk to them about the initial meeting that Angela and I had with Western Growers and with the state California Farm Bureau. And it was just a general conversation. A lot of it is the discussion was about where they want to go and where they see how they are going to self-manage themselves in the future. We're going to regulate them no matter what, but whatever form their organizations take in the Central Coast, that's really up to them to propose. So I think it was, again, well-balanced, and I think the State Board did as good a job as they could considering how far apart all these groups are in terms of, you know, what their concerns are and what they would like to see in an order. So I would suggest that maybe Mr. Schimmick have an opportunity if he'd like to talk about it at this point.
So the growers, then, they're somewhat satisfied and ready to move ahead.
Yeah, I think, I personally think they, especially their board, there were a couple of their board members who were there, and they seem to be very serious about doing a good job. And I think the fact that, in fact, Tim, I forget Tim's last name, he's a grower, he's the chair. What is his name?
Burrell.
He said, no, absolutely not. He says, we don't want crappy data. He says, we're going to pay to do those, to do that testing for the individuals because we want good data that we can use. And we are going to be meeting with them on a regular basis to, in fact, our next meeting is November, John 15th or something, or to do continue to work on implementation and working out the bugs. Their data management people, we extended an invitation to them to come down and sit with staff to go through GeoTracker so that they have a better understanding. So I think the working relationships are very, very much improved, and we're going to continue working on that basis with them.
Thank you. Dr. Wolf.
Yeah, question for Ken. Two questions relating to implementation. The first question is, how are we going to communicate to the Tier 2 and 3 growers of these changes that took place? And then the second question is, are you planning a educational workshop to make sure that there is a good understanding in the ag community of what all those changes are meaning to them in terms of meeting implementation? Because it's been pretty fluid. And I think the workshop that you helped develop were very effective, and so and you had those scheduled in different geographic location to make sure we had good agricultural representation.
So we do have plans to inform both the growers as well as the landowners. We're in the process of working with State Board right now to develop some informational items to send out to all the growers, and we're working actually, hopefully we'll get a contract to work with a group that will help us to put it in sort of the local vernacular and terms and methods that will be well received by the ag community. We haven't specifically planned workshops, although we have definitely are trying to identify the key forums. So for example, the Sustainable Ag Expo, and other venues to both provide staff in the booth setting as well as presentations so that growers are informed. For the most part, the implementation is not changed. So, for example, there is an annual compliance form still, which they all know that they have to do and that they are accustomed now to doing. It's the content within the form that will change, and so I don't think there are big wide changes that would require differences in the way that they would actually implement the practices on their ranch. It's more of a fine tuning. But we will definitely take the opportunity to do target outreach. We're working with the commodity groups, for example, Strawberry Commission and others, to figure out what the best form is for doing that.
Mr. Johnston.
Can I just request that, as a matter of course, when there are workshops being scheduled, that the board members be notified about them relatively early? There's been times board members have expressed an interest in going to workshops, and it's really easier if we can let staff know early that we might be interested in case there's notice issues to be taken up. So I'm just thinking, in this and other areas, if there are workshops in the area, maybe it just be a matter of course to let the board members know, and we know that if we're interested in going, we got to talk to somebody about it.
I think the easiest way is to make sure you're on the LIRIS list, because they go out LIRIS. And the second thing to make it more routine is we can just put there is standard language we can put in each notice that just says, you know, board members may be present or quorum may be present, but no action will be taken. That's what we used to do in Sacramento. That's really easy, and then we don't even have to think about it. And if you're on the LIRIS list, if you get it and you want to go, you know, certainly we would appreciate a courtesy notice that you're going to go, but then you can go ahead and go. It's not an issue then.
Should board members let you know that they want
to
be added?
If you're going to attend one of our workshops, I think even if it's not ag, any workshop, we would like to know that you're going to be there.
So I'm on the LIRIS list for ag. I'm not sure what other LIRIS lists I need to be on to know about workshops in my area, but.
Well, if you go to the website, there's a whole list of, and these things, just sign up for all of them if you want, and you'll get all of the notices.
Jeff.
Russ.
Thank you. Ken, my question is, how many cooperative monitoring programs do we have within our region? And I'm assuming that Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo County is going to join the North. And so my second part of the question is, if that's the case, are they paying for the monitoring that's going to be done in those areas as well?
So we have three, if you included the surface water. We have two approved groundwaters. One's a small one up the coast, and then there's, of course, the Salinas-based one. The one in the south, they are considering this one coalition, but because of the timing, we are requiring that the work plan for the southern counties be kept separate, and that the schedule be its own schedule, and that the two not the two work plans, one for the north, one for the south, not be commingled, because the one for the north is already off and running. But it will be one. So in essence, we will still have the same number. And in fact, I suspect that it's very possible that with the next order, we may have just one. It's possible we could have just one coalition that does everything. I mean, that's a possibility. And as far as the south pays for their, they'll pay, the farmers down there will be assessed just like the farmers in the north, so they'll pay for their own monitoring.
Bruce.
To try to keep those three constituent groups sort of on the same page so that the next time we do the ag order, they start from a more unified or at least an equally informed perspective, what's the plan to keep them involved with, you know, a summary of all the nuances and all the changes that are going on as far as GeoTracker? I understand the primary relationship is going to be between the growers and the board staff, because it's the growers that are providing the information. So I would think that the growers are going to be a lot more informed about how the ag order is being implemented than the other two groups we mentioned. So how are the other two groups, if I was a member of the other two groups, how would I stay informed about how it's being implemented?
Are you speaking about the cooperative itself, how the cooperative is being implemented, or generally the ag order?
Generally the ag order, and specifically how all the information is coming in. And
I think the primary method will actually be the updates to the board, you know, and we'll try to make sure that those are noticed on our LIRIS, as well as to the different commodity groups and coalition groups, that they get that information. We are working very closely with the different cooperatives, so you know, as they communicate out to their members too, it'll be a shared communication.
And is it appropriate for staff to be available to non-growers if people have questions about how GeoTracker works, or they want to run down on something technical that they don't understand?
Yes, we do that all the time in terms of answering questions from the public or other stakeholders, informing them about the data that's available.
Thank you.
Hey, Bruce, I also wanted to point out that we're having ongoing meetings with the other groups that you mentioned all the time. Ken mentioned that he met with I think it was Mr. Shimmick and some others recently.
No, I said I offered to meet with them.
And we have dialogue going on with EJ groups all the time. As recently as last night, we were trying to set up some meetings with some environmental justice groups in the coming month or so. So there's dialogue going on all the time outside of this forum, too.
So you can ask the staff. I'm not here very much. I seem to spend a lot of time elsewhere meeting with people and talking with people. So we're trying, not only me, but the staff here, are trying very hard to really improve the lines of communication. And I think it's working, so.
Okay. Any other board comments on this item before I ask the public if they want to comment on it? Okay. Mr. Shimmick, did you want to address the board? Okay.
Do we have a mic for them?
Yeah.
It's a pre-warmed seat. Thank you, Mr. Harris. So, first of all, my name is Steve Shimmick. I'm executive director of the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. Just as a little aside, I think that it was kind of the EJ groups and Mr. Shimmick that he referred to. I want to make the point that we have continually worked with a number of stakeholders. Those stakeholders include Santa Barbara Coast Channel Keeper, San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper, California Sports Fishermen Protection Alliance. We've also brought to the table on occasion NRDC, Sierra Club, Ocean Conservancy, and a number of other groups. It is not me, and I hope that is clear. So first of all, I also want to say I'm here on the day that you guys are going to have your barbecue, and I'm about to be a big downer, so I'm sorry. I really apologize for that. But how can we be proud or pleased with the outcome of the ag waiver process? And the outcome is what I'm talking about. Your item 9, so I'm going to try and combine all my comments for the day into this one thing, lists as the number one and number two priorities as preventing and correcting the threats to human health and preventing and correcting degradation to the aquatic habitat. The impacts of agriculture are severe and well documented. There are severe impacts to both public health and the aquatic environment. Those are your number one and number two priorities. Essentially what the revised order does, and I'm going to provide a giant hint where I want you to ask me a question, I hope. In summary, the order does not contain a single numeric standard or effluent limit. It kicks the can down the road as far as science to a new scientific panel that will be an iterative stakeholder-influenced process with no beginning and no end, and another iterative process open to public comment. And what's important about the stakeholder process, this new scientific process, is your ag staff consulted with some of these same scientists already and got their advice. Your ag order was science-based. And this is the one that I hope you will ask me about. There is a new provision, 87.5, which Angela or Mr. Harris did not mention, which is this giant gaping hole off-ramp that basically says, and not basically, the written word says, if you change your practices, you will be in compliance with water quality standards. And I hope you will ask me, it would take an extra minute to read the text of that. It's a single paragraph. It monitors, it's a discharge, a waiver for agricultural discharges, and it monitors 2.6% of the dischargers, 2.6%. And as far as the cooperative monitoring, it's entirely unclear what that's all going to do. I mean, I think that there's been some confusion here today. And basically, we have no idea if it'll work or not. And then at a recent meeting that Executive Officer Harris and State Water Board staff attended, I attended as well, a scientist noted, just as we suspected, and specifically Mr. Young, Chair Young, and I suspected, and others, growers are switching from diazinon and chlorpyrifos to malathion. That will not solve the toxicity problem. That will simply get them out of Tier 3. And how many people do you have in Tier 3? It was projected to be over 100. You have far less than that. We have an ag order that has off-ramps and leaks, and I fear will be entirely ineffective. Agriculture's political clout and repeated demands for delays have overruled science and the hard work of ag program staff and this board. They've undone it all. And I just want to comment, this is the first time I've heard that I was invited to the table to discuss the new order. Mr. Harris did not talk with me about that. I'd like to read that one paragraph that's the off-ramp. It'll take about a minute. May I?
Go ahead.
Okay. 87.5. To comply with provisions 22, 23, 33, and 84 through 87, those are the water quality standards, the basin plan, tailwater monitoring plan, and the time schedule. Of this order, dischargers must, one, implement management practices that prevent or reduce discharges of waste that are causing or contributing to exceedances of water quality standards, and, two, to the extent practice effectiveness evaluation or reporting, monitoring data, or inspections indicate that the implemented management practices have not been effective in preventing the dischargers from causing or contributing to exceedances of water quality standards, the discharger must implement improved management practices. Period. So, in other words, if data shows that I'm not effectively meeting water quality standards, the timeline, anything, all I've got to do is change my practices and I am in compliance. The text of what it says in the background does in fact say...
But what you said was not the same as what you read, because it said improved management practices.
Improved management change. Practices. So, I would suggest to you that improved, there's no real good definition. And we had to sweat blood and give up our firstborn to get that word inserted. And I was the one that negotiated that. And yes, improved was added, and I gave up my firstborn.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Shemek.
So, Mr. Chair, I just I know it's kind of more of a workshoppy thing today, so.
Yeah.
Steve? No. Oh, yeah, Steve. I'm sorry. I would suggest, I know you've heard, there's no response here, really, but you just heard two board members kind of asked for this matrix going back to essentially when we were first appointed at the end of almost 3 years of work that we hadn't seen, and asked for that kind of timeline of what I was calling both givebacks and erosions from where it was before we actually were appointed to where we ended up. And I would encourage you, without going overboard, to quickly convey to our staff some of the points that you think might be in that type of category for them to consider passing along to us also. Okay.
Sure. I think that all you have to do is look at your February 2010 ag order, which was the original staff proposal, and then compare that against where we are today.
I think staff's on your side,
right?
Generally, I mean, is my impression too, but you may have some particular passionate points that may not rise to their level of what they want to pass along to us, and I'd encourage you to put that in front of them for consideration.
Certainly. Thank you.
Steve, can I give you some friendly advice?
Of course.
Since I'm always on the receiving end of your comments, I could feel your angst and your disappointment with this. I mean, it's palpable. This is a long process that we're in. this isn't the beginning, this isn't the end. We're somewhere in the middle of it. We've got 5 years that have preceded this point in time, and probably more than 5 years that are going to come after this point in time. We've got more to work with now than we had before in the prior order. We've got some more tools. Granted, it is not everything that some people would like, and it's probably more than what others would like to have. But I would encourage you to try to embrace this process in a kind of more positive way in terms of trying to build some, you know, bridges so that we can make this work better. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I don't discount that at all. I think one way to write the order would have been a lot more tough and stringent, but I can guarantee you it wouldn't have gotten past the state board in that process. And so this is a great example of implementing regulations where you have a very important stakeholder. Ag is hugely important in a lot of ways. And this is going to be implemented and unfolded in a way that is going to take into consideration their concerns. I mean, it's a political reality. So I hope that you put on a little more positive face with this and look for how you can help to make it work better.
So I would just respond, 30-second response is,
sure.
is that one, I think that I've heard over and over again, you know, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And to some extent, I agree with that. But given the severe impacts of agriculture on both human health and the environment, I believe that you have to change the trajectory from a downslope to an upslope to even believe in taking baby steps. The steps must be great enough to change the trajectory, and I fear that the step we have taken after 10 years of, well, 8 years of ag order, frankly, have not been enough to change the trajectory. And my last point is, I do fear, but I don't know. I am not a lawyer. I do fear that the ag order is not in compliance with the law. And so again, one, is it enough to change the trajectory? I don't think so. And that's a subjective thing. And two, does it comply with the law? That's not a question for me.
Okay. Well, didn't want to get into a debate with you over it, but we have groundwater now as part of this ag order. We did not have that before. So I think that's a fundamental change and increase in scope for what we are about to do. But we can disagree on the slope of change. But I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnston.
Not to unnecessarily prolong things, but Mr. Shimmick, I recall, I don't remember if it was in the press release criticizing the State Board's decision that your organization and several of the others you mentioned put out, or if I heard it elsewhere, but I seem to recall hearing some rumblings about the potential for a legal challenge by environmental organizations to the ultimate result of the process, which was the State Board's ruling. If you're able to say at this point, and I don't even know where we are on time limits, has a decision been reached on whether there's going to be a legal challenge to the State Board's order from the folks you work with?
I'm going to be absolutely candid and honest. People are looking at it. No decision has been made.
Okay.
So before Mr. Shimmick leaves the table, it was I mentioned the my offer went to Jeanette Montoya twice. Once was at the to meet with everybody. Once was at the CDFA task force. The second one was at the last meeting at the State Board during one of the breaks. We had many breaks while staff were doing it, writing language. And I think, as I recall, that Mr. Shimmick was standing there when I was talking to a group and made the offer. All I can do is make the offer. If they don't follow up on it,
there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Shimmick is here. I will publicly state, Mr. Shimmick, that I am more than happy to meet with you at any time to talk about the future of the ag order and where we're going to go. Just give me a call, and I'll come to Salinas, wherever, and meet with you and anyone else.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Wolf.
And just, you know, a little input in regard to the task force and, you know, some of the concerns of having a group of scientists reviewing again, you know, some of the aspects of nutrient management. But I think, you know, the science is work in progress. And if we used the science base established 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I would say that it's all science because things are moving very quickly. For example, the strawberry growers have invested a significant amount of funding for research to be done at Cal Poly on strawberries. And there is a tremendous amount of work right now and progress made in understanding plant physiology. And in fact, that was an item of concerns for many agriculturists is to have a better understanding of how plants react to nutrients based on the various factors of soil, et cetera. So I think that it's a good thing to have these group actively working on state of the industry on what is happening because I think it'll allow our water board to be able to use really the leading edge of a technology rather than old technology. So I view it actually as a positive that, you know, there is an effort made on a statewide base to really try to push the envelope to make more scientific progress on this complex issue.
So I've been involved in my career in three big processes. One was, you know, container and tanker ship traffic along the coast of California. Second one was the Marine Life Protection Act initiative, which created, you know, protected areas along the coast of California, and now this. And what I would say is science is never settled, ever. And the reality is that we have to move ahead with policy on the best available science, not the best projected science, the best available science at the time. And that's what we have to move ahead with. And as far as the nutrient stuff goes, there is a basic truth that everyone will essentially say, and that is that there is the amount of nitrogen needed by the crop and an amount of nitrogen that you provide to the crop. And no amount of science can change that. And that's what the balance ratio is. And so we can talk about, you know, how accurate these numbers are, but the reality is that there's kind of these basic things of how much nitrogen does the crop, you know, require, and how much are you providing it? And we might not have exact numbers for some of those things. That doesn't preclude us learning along the way. And I think by throwing out the requirement for people to even report these things, as far as what they feel the crop requirement is, you're throwing out an opportunity to learn. And that's what I object to, is throwing out the opportunity to learn and gain experience. And I'd like to just stop here.
Okay, good. All right. I mean, this will be continued. Okay, Claire, I see you snuck in just a few minutes ago. We are almost at the end of item 7, the agricultural order. Did you want to address the board at all on this? We did. I mean, you didn't hear the
I was just going to say that we had talked about the co-op. We talked about a proposal coming from the Santa Barbara, San Luis counties. So I don't know, Claire, if you want to come up and say anything about that, or
don't worry, we didn't vote to accelerate the November 1st date.
Thank you. Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that we're making every effort to continue outreach to our members as the requirements are evolving and, you know, seeing good compliance efforts and just looking forward to kind of taking things through the next stage.
Okay. And everyone's aware of the November 1st deadline?
We're waiting on the final outreach materials for that. You're referring to the enrollment?
Yeah, for the Southern group.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we're definitely in the process of conducting outreach on that.
Okay.
And we'll certainly make every effort to outreach to our members and our partner organizations.
Okay, good. Good.
Do you have any questions?
Any board questions for Claire? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other public comments on this item? Mr. Schmidt, come on up.
The material that Claire was talking about is they've got a bunch of stuff at the printer, as they mentioned to us yesterday, and they were just waiting for the final proofs, and they'd print it, and then they'd be mailing that out to everybody.
Thank you very much, Kurt Schmidt, Preservation Inc. We are going to be sending out a newsletter to all of the enrolled farmers in the Central Coast, and if your staff would like to prepare a brief memo of what the chronology is of compliance, I think it would do a lot to assure the growers that there is a set timeline for various items, particularly the enrollment of growers in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County. But there's also significant concern because of the time that it took for the appeal to conclude about when the growers had to update their ENOI, things like this where everyone on staff is absolutely convinced, as am I, that the deadline has passed, but growers believe that the deadline is upcoming because of a delay that may be imaginary because of the delay in the appeal, or not the delay. As we all know, appeals never conclude quickly, so this is, I guess, a prompt resolution. But it would be helpful if we could work together to communicate this to the growers so that they knew what the time frames are going forward. We had an enforcement by the State Water Board imposing a Tier 3 tax on all the growers who didn't pay by April 4th of this year for participating in the Cooperative Management Program, because we collect a tax that the state imposes on all ag waiver participants. This has never been enforced before. There was tremendous confusion when they sent out a bill. The bills were 70 times greater than what Preservation Inc. charged. So the growers were, one, caught off guard and found a financial commitment that they didn't know they had. It would be great if we could outline all of these deadlines at the beginning of the year, even before we send out our bills on December 1st, so that everyone's on the same page for the rest of the year. And I appreciate the assistance.
Don't you know what the deadlines are yourself?
I know what the deadlines are, but it's always better to include something that comes from your board saying that this is what the deadlines are, because over the past year, the state board has changed the deadlines many times for various things.
Okay.
And so we have relayed this to the people on our email list, and after a while, it becomes a moving target. I would just request that assistance, okay, not because I don't know what they are or Angela doesn't know what they are, but there would be helpful to assure the growers that we're both on the same page or that this is the final set of deadlines.
So are you looking for something on our letterhead?
Anything would be appreciated.
So I'm sure Angela and Ken can provide you with that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else wish to address the board on this item? Okay. Let's move on to item number 8, Vision for the Future, Major Initiatives.
Before we start, could I suggest we take a short break, maybe
sure.
10 minutes? It's 10:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 minutes or so.
I got them. within 10 minutes.